each time that we get together for legacy, I think it's really important to remind ourselves, what is legacy about? What, from the very beginning, and this is collective wisdom that I received from some people that I really respect, Mark Schatzman, Abel Schaffer, Robert Cupp. I don't know if you know any of those. And I was asking them, and they said, at Fellowship for 40 years, we've really tried to make a concerted effort of keeping the mission and vision in front of the people. Not just words, not just tacked on some poster on the wall, but it's lived out. That, you know, Fellowship Bible Church, number one, is everything that we do at Fellowship, we're seeking to glorify the Lord. And the second one, but then after that, is changing the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. And then I love this idea, and it took me a while to understand. 15 years ago when I first came here, I'd hear this phrase, fingerprints everywhere, name nowhere. Well, took me a little while, being an Iowa Norwegian, slow. So you're on your head too emphatically when I say that. We have released leaders of all phases of life, not just serving here in the church campus, but all throughout the community. And, you know, in a whole variety of kinds of ways, and they don't walk around with a big sign, I'm from Fellowship. And they're serving, as many of you are, very faithfully, consistently, all the time. So that's the fingerprints nowhere. But the name of Jesus is being lifted up everywhere. And then producing and releasing spiritual leaders. And sometimes, you know, we really need to think about that, because we can, in insecurity or whatever, you know, say, I'm not a leader. Well, a leader is anyone that has influence. And all of us in our sphere of influence, our family, our neighborhood, whatever, we have the opportunity to be an influence for Christ. And so that's what we're about. And then they said, you know, have a clear statement of what legacy is all about. And that is that we are a group of legacy phase of life people who are seeking to live and finish well from God's perspective. And that's all based on the scripture. It also is that we care compassionately for those around us, not only in our church, but in our community, in our city, and beyond that. And then the next one is, and this one, when I see and hear so many powerful examples of this, giving generously of our time, talent, and treasure. Wow. As I look around the room, I see some people that are modeling that so well. And then the last one that is really important to me individually is investing eternally in the next generation. And, you know, I have adult kids. Connie and I have both daughters and their husbands and all of our grandkids. In this season of life, to have them here with us on Sunday morning worshiping and being equipping, that's a powerful thing. And we have this group here also has done and continues to do some amazing things about investing eternally in the next generation. So let me pray for our time. Father, we thank you and praise you just for who you are, your goodness, your grace, your mercy that you have demonstrated in each of our lives here. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon this group now and upon Allison as she shares. And I pray that you would be glorified above all things, that our legacy participants would be encouraged, they'd be challenged, they would be informed. Because really some things we're talking about are really stewardship kinds of issues. And so, Father, again, in advance, we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you will do through this time together. In Christ's name, amen. On your table, You have a couple things, and this I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Every month, we have this sheet here, and the purpose of these is every legacy gathering we want to share with you some ministry opportunities. Okay, opportunities that you may or may not be aware of, and if I'm not going to spend a lot of detail, but if you have questions about any of these, you know, just come and see me at the end of the session. The other thing on the page here is equipping opportunities. Fellowship is an equipping church. I think one of the top ones on one side of the paper, it says opportunities, panorama of the Bible. I'm just curious. How many people in here have taken panorama? Whoa, okay. Wow. If you haven't, if you're relatively new, for whatever reason, that is an amazing study that you will never regret. It's a 12-week thing. Robert Cupp used to be the only person. He has been training people because it's in such demand now that we have campuses in Rogers, Fayetteville, and here in Bentonville. It's just amazing, amazing course. The other thing I think that's on there that I was asked to announce is Grief Share. Okay, and that's right below the announcement there about Panorama of the Bible. Tuesdays, I think they're just got it started. Legacy is a season of change. And when you hear grief, oftentimes we just think loss of a loved one. That's certainly the most common, but there's all kinds of losses that those of us in the legacy phase of life have experienced or will. So I really, really encourage that you would, you know, if that speaks to you, that you would check that out. So, Allison, are you ready? This is an amazing group. I walked around here. I saw some guys. They've got their pens out. They're ready to take notes. They're ready to get after it. I have known Allison for I don't know how many years now, and I've heard her talk about not just the topic, but some history. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Ephesians 2:10. It says that we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Therefore, go walk in them. My Iowa Norwegian translation is, there's no wasted experiences in God's economy. He's continually preparing us for what he has in store for us in the future.
Sure. Absolutely. My name's Allison Van Hecke, and I didn't come into this straight from college or even dreaming of doing this work, to be quite honest with you. It kind of, to Dick's point, was a series of what I see as God-ordained experiences that led me down this way. I always joke, this is God's business, not mine, because I would never have thought to do this on my own, just through the experiences I've had. And you're going to have to excuse me. I've just got little scratchy throat this morning, so I'm going to stay clear, but I feel fine. So what I... Basically, what Dick would like me to share is the history of my family in taking care of older adults, widows. I come from a long line of people who've had a calling to do this. My great grandparents were blessed with a very lucrative company that they started, and upon their passing, they were Episcopalians. So not many down here in Northwest Arkansas, but that's what they were, and they found that when Episcopalian priests retired, they had nowhere to go because they'd lived in the parishes forever, and so they had nowhere to be. So they started a basically what we would call a continuing care retirement community for Episcopalian priests in Asheville, North Carolina, upon their passing. They left money for this to happen. And I had the fortune to go visit it about three before the floods this last summer. I got to visit it, and what the legacy that's there is just phenomenal. And the fact that they're taking care of not just Episcopalian priests anymore, but that is a part of who they still care for, but just the general public of people who need a place to downsize and feel safe for the rest of their life. So, and then fast forward a bit, my dad was developed and built assisted living communities as a second career. He has a PhD in geochemistry and was a geologist. And when the oil market just tanked, he said, heck with this. And he started working. And it was really his experience helping his mom in her older years and not feeling like she was ready for a nursing home, but couldn't stay home. So he started developing and was some of the founding businesses with that were developing assisted living, which was a new concept in the 90s. So I came alongside to work with him after we moved here and really got an experience of seeing from the perspective of running an assisted living, the hard decision that it was to do that. What I found more times than not, people were so overwhelmed with the process of moving that they stayed home longer than they feel than they should have, longer than it was safe to do. But they were so overwhelmed with the process of, how do I do this? I don't feel well, I'm tired, I'm caregiving, whatever it was. So they ended up staying home longer. And try as I might, I couldn't find any resources to help out with that process. And so then I also became I'm a social worker by education. I didn't share that. I worked at Mercy Hospital for a while at the geriatric behavior health floor. And we had the same concerns in a little bit of a different way, in that a lot of people would come to our floor and the doctor would say, you know, it's probably not best for you to live at home alone anymore. And as this case manager, my job is to help with what needs to happen. Well, I could easily find a home for the client, the patient to go live in, but then they were overwhelmed and just panicked about what to do with their home, their stuff, and everything else. So that is how a series of events have led me into being a realtor, social worker, downsizing specialist, basically a Northwest Arkansas resource for older adults is what we do. So that's a long introduction, but I think it's important for you to know where I've come from, how I got here, and why I do what I do. It's very rewarding. It is absolutely some of the hardest work I've ever done. But to be able to walk into a client's home who feels so stuck and overwhelmed, and then to see them after the fact living a very full life is extremely rewarding. So. Okay, so this is all about simplifying. So why should simplifying be so overwhelming? Just really. So what we want to do, what we aim to do, is simplify your life so that you are overjoyed and not overwhelmed. And that's my whole purpose, is to help you be overjoyed with what this new transition or this new phase of life, what it looks like, and not overwhelmed. We're going to talk about five. I'm going to make it five easy steps, right? We do have more steps when we actually do it, but I'm simplifying it today because it's all about simplifying. To let you kind of know the big picture about how this works and let me ask you this. Who has thought about downsizing before? Just raise your hand if you've thought about it. Okay, it's on everybody's mind, and it's a topic like, when do you do it? How do you do it? Why should you do it? You know, all of these the questions, and it's so funny to me. It's one of those topics that is in the back of everybody's mind all the time about, is it better to do it now? Is it better to do it later? And I just heard a quote from a colleague of mine who said, it's better to downsize 5 years too early than 5 minutes too late. And I thought that really resonated with me because our goal as a team is to work with you as planning for the future. Let's not react to what's happened. Let's plan for what needs to be next. And so that's really what we're about, is creating a plan as our first step. So again, why downsize? A lot of times what we find is that people and studies show people live longer and happier and healthier when they have social engagement. And as people age, you maybe have lived in your home for 30 years, you might find your neighbors, people you could count on, have either moved or maybe passed away. And so you start feeling a little bit more socially isolated because those people might be gone. You may have maybe not driving as much, and so you're not able to get to as many social engagements. And so social isolation is one of the biggest killers of older adults. It's more dangerous than smoking a pack a day of cigarettes. And so that's when you move into a community or a smaller space that has other people of similar backgrounds, you get that social engagement that you need to have throughout your life. And health and wellness, let's talk about that. If you're living at home and you don't drive and you haven't been to the grocery store and you just eat popcorn for dinner or cookies or a TV dinner, not exactly the healthiest diet, right? Also wellness, you tend to not necessarily want to get out to exercise. And I know I haven't wanted to get outside and walk except for one day this week. That was amazing. Other than that one day this week, the last 3 weeks, I was like, heck with it. So finding that wellness inside that downsize option is really important. The other reason, as you live in your house for 20, 30 years, who loves house maintenance? Nobody, right? It's not fun. And as your house gets older, more things break, more things happen. I'll give you a personal story. I did just downsize my parents this last year, and I had been after them for a while. My mom has Parkinson's. My dad has congestive heart failure. So it was just a matter of they sit around going, well, who's going to go first? I'm like, well, let's take care of yourselves and maybe you'll live even longer. So we got them downsized. But the kicker for them, they never went upstairs anymore. They had 4,000 square feet. They never went upstairs. And one day they were watching TV after my sister and her kids had been in town. And the light above on their ceiling just started flowing water. And my dad can't climb stairs anymore. So my mom goes up there and they had a leak that they didn't even know was even happening. So those are things to really think about. Are you using the space that you're in? Is it necessary? And so for them, they thought, you know, we live in this 1200 square foot footprint. Why do we have 4,000 square feet? And that was really a kind of a kicker for them that, oh, this is maybe not so much fun anymore. Okay, so create a plan that fits your lifestyle and your future needs. Things to consider as you're planning. And let's keep in mind, better to move 5 years too soon than 5 minutes too late. What is your current and your long-term health? What does that look like? If you have some diagnoses or your spouse does, what are the prognosis? To have honest conversations with your doctors about what they think your prognosis is or what your spouse's prognosis is and what they would recommend. I think using medical professionals for decisions like that is really helpful. Consider your transportation options. Unfortunately, here in Northwest Arkansas, we don't really have great public transportation. And so do you still drive? Are you still comfortable driving? Do you want to still drive? Do you rely on other people for transportation, for groceries, social engagements, things like that? Or is that something that might happen in the near future? Those are things to really consider. And again, your social interaction. What are your social outlets? Where do you get those? What do you find that you enjoy doing now? How easy is it to access those things with or without transportation? And your hobbies and interests, what do you love to do? Are those things that are nearby? Are they far away? These are all things to evaluate in your life as far as what to consider when downsizing. So I know we had some people after I was here the last time We do senior living tours to help people understand what services and what's the Rushes partook on several of them, actually. Did you find it educational? Yes. Yes, I think the misunderstanding, in especially my generation and up, is when we placed our grandparents into, it was nursing homes, and it was awful, and it was smelly, and it was just gross, and it was depressing. And people, I think, still have those images in their mind, maybe even the smell in their nose, because it was so bad. What we have now is a smorgasbord of opportunity and really neat opportunities for retirement type living in a community setting. So I don't know, how many of you have toured different communities in the local area? Okay, all right, good. So we have different options. We have 55 plus neighborhoods. There's a few of those, one in Springdale, a couple in Bella Vista, couple in Springdale, actually. We have different townhome or condo opportunities up at, obviously, in Bella Vista. There's a lot of those, some in Bentonville, some in Rogers. Those are fully independent, obviously. Those are the ones that you either rent or buy, and you just take care of the inside yourself, and someone else takes care of all the outside. So if you're tired of mowing the lawn, that gets taken away from you. But if you're tired of cooking, you're still cooking. So those are the 55 plus options. In the independent living, what I like to call this is it's just really apartment living for in your older years. It's independent. They're not licensed by the state. It is fully, like I said, independent. There's no medical help with an independent living community. Those are what you'll find in those is typically two meals a day. And typically they'll do weekly housekeeping. They may have some of them have valet services. So if you want to go grocery shopping, they'll pull your car around for you. Different things like that, but it is fully independent, okay? There's quite a few different options in our area for that. Assisted living is just what it says. You still have the right to come and go as you please. You still have, all of those choices. However, a lot of people find that once they have trouble with their ADLs, which is your activities of daily living, like maybe dressing, showering, bathing, eating, you might need a little assistance with medication reminders. That's where assisted living comes into play. And then skilled nursing is now what you would remember as nursing home. We now call it skilled care or long-term care, things like that. And oftentimes a memory care is either tied up with a skilled facility or an assisted living facility. So memory care is often separate for reasons that aren't necessary. So people don't wander. They're usually locked. They're usually associated with another building, like level of care change, but some of them are freestanding. And then continuing care retirement community, we have one of those in our area. That's Butterfield, if you're familiar down in Fayetteville. That is the only one we have that's a true continuing care retirement community in that you buy into it and you're able to stay for life. Okay. There's a couple different places that are transitional care where you can go in as independent living, and then they have assisted and memory care, and you can transfer as your needs progress. But most of them are freestanding, independent buildings. Do I have any questions about that? I know that's a big topic. Yes, a granny pod. Have you heard of granny pods? This is a new thing where they're putting tiny houses on their property and having mom or dad or both live in their backyard. I think it's fabulous. But I also, yes, there's opportunities to live with your kids if that is agreeable to both sides. Yes. Okay, well, you're very lucky then. That's wonderful. That's step three. That's actually the next step, Dick. That's fun that you say that. So communicate your plan with your adult kids and your friends. I suggest doing this early in the thinking. So it is hard as my parents are in their 80s, and somehow I've taken on a parent role in a lot of ways with them, and it's very, and I get very bossy, and oldest daughters can do that. And I worry about it comes from a place of worry. It comes from a place of wanting the best for them. And also it comes from a place of fear that I'm fearful of the future for them. I definitely want the best for them. So, and I think sometimes us adult children get a little bossy about what we think. Has anyone experienced that? Yes. So I say communicate early. Open the conversation up of just, hey, mom and I are thinking that we need something that has a little less space. We don't really want to take care of our lawn anymore. Just want you to know we're thinking about this. It's not to ask their permission. It's not to get their approval either. It's just to let them start processing this change as well, because it is also hard on the kids to know that maybe mom and dad aren't as strong as they were before, as healthy as they were before, as agile. So it's important to bring the kids along in that discussion so that there aren't conflicts and it's not a surprise when it's time to make the move. And let them, if you feel comfortable, walk alongside you with it. So, what to communicate to your kids? Talk to them about what your shared preferred senior living community is like, or if you're interested in a certain 55 plus neighborhood, let them know, show it to them. Even if it's just online, send them the link to what you've been looking at so that they can look at it too. Inform them about your professional service choices. So, if you are having home care come in, tell them why did you all are very young, but I'm not sure that, but in those, there's home care services that are available, and finding the right ones is very important. And so if you choose to use that service for whatever reason, let them know about it. If you are not ready for any of that, but you're researching, I always say knowledge is power, research it ahead of time. And create a written document of what your wishes are. Not necessarily doesn't have to be in a trust, it doesn't have to be anything, just something written so that if you have made choices about what you like and what you want to happen with different things, let them have it in a place where they know where to find it too. Because it's important that you get to make your own choices. And that they're not made for you. And that's where I feel like the planning really takes place. When you plan early, you don't experience as much crisis or conflict with your kids or anyone else, really. And let them know what type of support you would like for them to provide. If you want their help, let them know. If you don't want their help, let them know that too. It's really important. And I know that sounds silly, but it's important to just communicate, hey, we are of sound mind and sound body. We want to make these, we're independent people. We want to be able to choose what we want on our own. We will let you know, and then you can help us with the move. How about that? And again, I said communicating your wishes is not about asking for opinions or for permission, but it's about establishing expectations. Okay. So step three of our five steps today is surround yourself with professionals. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people try to do it all on their own, and it ends up being more expensive. It ends up being stressful. It ends up everybody's fighting with each other. One of the nice things about bringing in professionals like our team is we've made all the mistakes for you. We have vetted our vendors. We know who to use. We know who not to use. We know We have learned through a lot of trial and error what order to do the downsize in and how to guide accordingly. It does kind of require a flip in your script of what you've probably done in the past when buying and selling homes or moving. We typically recommend moving first if you can financially afford to do so. You then remain in full control of the entire process. If you put the house on the market first, you lose a lot of that control, because if you get under contract or you're doing showings, you can't do a lot of work because you can't mess up the house. Once you get under contract, you're under the buyer's timeline, not yours. And so you lose the opportunity to do a lot of estate liquidation, because that takes some planning. I don't know if anyone's tried to have an estate sale or an auction, but those people are busy. They are really tied up. And so we have to plan accordingly to make sure that we can maximize the return on your assets. And as long as we have full reign of timeline, it's to your benefit. So, but that's hard for a lot of people to kind of wrap their head around all of that. The common questions are, where do I start? I say, if you're thinking you want to downsize in the next 5 years, start by just going through some closets, going through how many sets of sheets do you need, right? I mean, how many blankets do you need? Those things pile up because we just keep putting them back in a cabinet thinking we'll use them again. I'll tell you that humane societies love sheets and blankets and towels. So if you ever do decide, call us. We'll help you figure out where to donate to have the best impact for what you are getting rid of. How many coats do you need? Go through your things that aren't going to hurt an estate sale or a auction. Get rid of those things. You know, start cleaning out, making yourself feel better about where you are. Start one closet at a time. If space isn't, start 15 minutes at a time, and don't beat yourself up if you go down a rabbit hole. I'll tell you, we downsized this in the last 6 months, and I spent an unbelievable amount of time going through photo albums after I found them and unearthed them. It derailed me. I couldn't get rid of them. There's always going to be that one thing that's hard. That's what hiring professionals can help you stay on track, help you work through your emotions and your feelings. I wished I'd had a team member there with me to say, hey, Allison, let's do this for another 15 minutes and then let's move on. Because it just really gets to you. And whether it's pictures or whether it's antiques that have been given to you, whether it's, you know, whatever your sticking point is, people get stuck there and just stop. So having professionals does help to keep you on track. And then the question of, who do I call? Well, these are just a list I came up with of all the different types of people we work with throughout the downsizing process. And if you don't have these people in your Rolodex, it's very overwhelming. And so these are all different services we can help with. Obviously, not every single one needs to be every single move. You may already have your elder law attorney. You may already have your financial planner. But a lot of these, who off the top of their head has a handyman that could come and do just about anything that you want? I mean, there's different people for different things that we work with. And so my point in showing you all this is, these are people we have vetted, we work with all the time, that give us special rates, really, because we give them a lot of business. So, and those are where we can pass savings on to our clients. So step four, everybody take a deep breath. I'll tell you, when I first started this business, I thought, I'm going to help people downsize. I'm going to get my real estate license, and I'm just going to sell their house, and it's going to be all peachy. Well, the first house I did was the biggest lesson learned, that it has nothing to do with the house and everything to do with what's inside the house that is hard to do. And so how do you deal with all this stuff? I'll give you a little secret of what we do and what we start with. We use and you can do this on your own. We use a color coding system. So green means keep, Red means go, we're getting rid of it. Blue means we're donating it. And so you can start if you wanted to. We use painter's tape. You can put it in a place that isn't hard to, is if you're not downsizing anytime soon. But the nice thing is if you have a lot of blue, take a load to Goodwill. You know, if you find that you're having a lot of things that you want to keep, figure out what space in your house you want to keep those things and separate those things out so that you can keep those. And same with family, sentimental items. This is always a sticky point. This is always really hard because you may have things that you think your kids may want. They don't want them. It's really, really, really hard. I think that is one of the most stressful things we deal with. And they may tell you they want them, but then never come and pick them up. So what are they telling you? They don't want them. So we always tell people, you know, yes, give your kids an option. If you want Susie to have this dresser from great grandma Eleanor, then you have until X date to come and get it. And after that date, it's going into the auction. And that's hard, but setting those boundaries, especially because I've also had other clients who have not moved because their kids have stuff in their house. And that has been really hard. And so we have to really do a lot of talking through that if they're not coming to get it, what does that mean? Those are some of the hard conversations we often have. And then the other hard conversation to have is some things that we have in our house are just trash. They are just trash. It is so hard and hard for me to say, but everybody has it. Things that are broken that you've kept, things that just aren't worth anything, but you still have, maybe duplicates of something that you have. Those are all, it's okay to say this is just junk and we're going to get rid of it. So, any questions on that piece? Oh, that, I'm so glad you brought that up. If you are thinking about downsizing, stop shopping. Or if you must shop and you have that retail therapy urge, dedicate yourself to that one in, one out rule. Like, yes, it's okay to bring in another sweater, but let's get rid of the one from 1990 and let's call it even. Yes, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. It is so freeing to get rid of the clutter that is around your house. It is absolutely hard to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is so freeing to not be surrounded by things that are just, you know, they say the more clutter you have in the house, the more clutter your brain is. But when you get rid of some of that, it gives you the clarity and the ability to think about more things. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. But I'm here with you, sister. One in, one out, or stop shopping. Yes, we always work with people too. It's so hard because you can go down a rabbit hole with all four of these categories, doing it all at once. If you are working with our team, what we focus on, and the only thing we focus on, is what are you going to keep? What's the most important things to you? What do you want in your next home? We don't even look at or talk about any of the things that we're leaving behind. Because you get distracted and you can go down rabbit holes really quickly. So that's what we focus on, because the rest of it is going to be either given to family or sold or donated or trashed. So that helps people to stay on focus. Okay, so estate liquidation. We use, there's a lot of options out there, but like I've said, you really have to plan ahead for an estate liquidation. We use a lot of times estate sales. I didn't used to be a fan of estate sales, but in our area, if you have furniture to sell, if you have big pieces, big items, that is where you're going to make the most money, is through an estate sale. If you have a lot of heirlooms, small things, jewelry, coins, collections that maybe people around here don't collect, you know, back in the 90s, Longaberger baskets, Hummels, Precious Moments figurines. Those things don't sell well in an estate sale, but they will sell online. So we do online auctions for people that have a lot of those collections to try to maximize the return on those investments. I have a gentleman I'm working with right now who has 200 Beanie Babies. Who remembers Beanie Babies? And I looked, you know, honestly, not... You can sell them still, but just not for what he was. He was expecting a retirement out of it. Not so much. So the problem, it's all economics. It's supply and demand. And your generation were collectors. You collected the same things, though. So now they're all hitting the marketplace and they just don't have value like we thought they would. We thought they were rare. Not when you all sell them at the same time. So we also, so estate sales and online auctions require a certain amount of items for the auctioneer to do them. So if you don't have enough things that you're leaving behind for one of those things, we do facilitate Facebook Marketplace sales. I don't know if you've tried to sell on Facebook Marketplace yourself. It's kind of a nightmare. Yes, it is not fun. It's really hard to get people to show up when they're going to say they'll be there or they want to talk you down so much. But we do have a few resources that have been doing online sales on Facebook Marketplace for years and have quite the following, and she does quite well. So we do have some resources with that as well so that you don't have to do that. I always say, let your team be your guide. You know, it's just like when you do something every day, you learn how to do it well. And that's what we've done, is we've been doing this since 2019. And so we have learned, like I said earlier, made the mistakes. We have done the things that we don't want you to do. And so we help. Basically, it's like a general contractor, if you will, what we do. So we coordinate dates. We find the vendors. We communicate with family. We communicate if you're moving into a senior living community. We communicate with them so you don't have to. We take care of the project so that it's much less, so you can focus on yourself or your spouse or your family, whatever, so that it doesn't have to be an overwhelming process. Again, we want to leave you overjoyed, and we want you to celebrate your new lifestyle. It's a big accomplishment. I don't think you realize until you're in it, nobody likes to move. Has anybody found joy in moving? Maybe the after move and being where you go, for sure, but the process of moving, not much fun. And so celebrate it. You accomplished something really, really hard. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about after the move. If you do decide to move into a place that's low maintenance or senior living community, it's a different lifestyle. It's different than what you've experienced before. Someone's making your meals, someone's mowing your lawn, someone's doing things for you. So it can be a transition phase for you to really get used to this new phase. If you've never lived in an apartment before, it might be a little bit hard to know that you walk out your door and three other people might be there. But it really goes, you know, the level of your optimism and how you think it's going to end up being is a predictor of how happy and how well you'll adjust and how quickly you'll adjust. If your support network is on the same page as you and they're supportive and you can talk to them about, man, this is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. I don't necessarily like X, Y, or Z about it. Be able to find someone who you can talk to about that and let them just be your listening ear. And then also your level of activity. Being sedentary is just never going to be good. Get yourself involved in the activities at the different places where you are. Get to know people so that your social engagement and your physical activity increases. I'll tell you, I had my grandma moved into an independent living community, and she had led a pretty sedentary life. My grandpa had dementia, so she was caregiving. So it just, you know, her world kind of collapsed around her. She used to be very social, very, you know, at church all the time, bridge groups, you name it. And then as he got sicker, her world just kind of collapsed on her, and she became extremely sedentary. Well, we ended up finding a place for both of them in the same community where he could have memory care and she could be in independent living. And I'll be darned if that lady didn't get a Fitbit and start counting her steps and volunteering for the library cart. She would take it around to people who were sick, and she would get involved in bridge groups, all the things. And we saw her get 10 years younger. It was amazing. And she could still go see Grandpa. She could go still be a part of his life and eat meals with him. But she also then had the social and the physical outlet that she needed. It was amazing. I think it's important when you're adjusting, just as in anything, that you're aware of your own feelings and that you normalize them and that you make sure that you understand that what you're feeling is normal, and that if you're not happy right away or things are just not turning out quite the way, give yourself patience and give yourself time to adapt to it. Allow that time for adjustment. And I always am a big fan of not just talking with other people, but also journaling and taking it to the Lord in prayer too. If that's, you know, just understanding that this is a real big adjustment. So that's the overview of the five steps. Create a plan, communicate with family and friends, surround yourself with qualified professionals, sort, organize, and simplify, and then celebrate. Don't forget to celebrate. Okay, questions? Yes. So it's Butterfield, and it's a continuing care retirement community. So what that means is you basically enter it into as an independent person, someone who doesn't need medical help, and you just want something smaller that works for you, maintenance free. You buy into it. So they have a rather large buy-in fee. It's almost like a replacement for long-term care insurance, if you will, because that buy-in fee allows you to stay. They also call it a life care community. So it allows you to move into their assisted should you ever need it. And then also they have a nursing facility on campus. So you are guaranteed a place forever. And what's nice about that is if you end up, say at an independent living community that doesn't have any other levels of care, you may have to move again. You may have to find another place to be. And if you're not feeling well, that's challenging. That's hard to do. And so that's the peace of mind they offer, in that you can come in as a healthy adult and you can stay until death, basically. Sure. That's great. Did everybody hear? So they have three kids that live out of state in other areas. How much should they rely on being close to them, or should they stay here? Should they move towards one of them? I find it interesting. You know, a lot of people moved from the North to Bella Vista in their early retirement years and have stayed and loved it and enjoyed it. What I find is there's the go-go phase, the slow-go, and the no-go is kind of what I like to call it. So the go-go phase is when you're newly retired and it's exciting and you have, you know, you may even go mountain biking or hike the trails or do all those things. And it's a great because Bella Vista is abundant with all kinds of activities. Then there's the slow-go years where you're like, maybe not so much mountain biking. Maybe we just walk over at, you know, through the on the greenway. You just get a little slower. And then there's the no-go where you're just like, I'm done and I'm out. And what I find is people who are in the go-go and the slow-go phase tend to still like to be independent, maybe close to their kids, but definitely not at all relying on them for anything. It's the no-go years, and that can be any age depending on your health. The no-go years, most people choose to move back home and to be closer to family. So we often move people in their upper 80s, 90s, who've been here in Bella Vista for 20 or 30 years, back home to Minnesota or Iowa. And I'm like, I feel awful moving a 90-year-old back home to the weather. I'm like, you do remember what you left behind, right? But it's about being close to family and really finishing close to them, getting to know grandkids better, getting the support from family members.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and that's what communicating with your family and having honest conversations with, you know, but by the time somebody is in their 90s, their kids are in their 70s. And so most of the time they're slower going as well. And so it really depends. I would agree with you if you were moving back. Yes, yes. Have those conversations. How much support are they willing to offer you if you do choose to move back? Because it's a big sacrifice to leave friends here to move back to family. And so, yes, you don't want to make that mistake for sure. But I also think it's really important to open up that line of communication as to, I'm not going to be hurt if you tell me you're too busy for me. Like, I need to just know. And so let's have a conversation about it. And it's really setting the stage for just, let's be transparent. Let's be honest with each other. Let's not make decisions we regret later. And that is going to require honesty.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where planning is so important. It really, you know, it's what's best for you. And if the kids are going to be on board, great. If they're not, then what does it look like here? So does that answer your question? It's not easy. They're not easy decisions. And it's not easy when you have more than one kid. And who do we go live next to? And how do we not hurt the other two's feelings? Those are tough. It's because you picked a great place to live. Yeah. Wonderful. That's great. That's really nice. Yes. Sure. Yes. Yes. Okay. Let me tell you, I didn't want to be salesy, and I just want to, I'll educate you about what we do. So what we do is we have two divisions to our company. One is the move, what we call move management, and one is called real estate, which y'all know what real estate is, but we work in conjunction with each other for a smooth process through the whole downsize. So our move management team is, we're nationally certified through NASM, which is the National Association of Senior Move Managers. We work with people from the beginning all the way to the end. So when we start with a project, planning is of utmost importance, so that we spend most of our time on the beginning, so the end is really easy. So what we do is we go into wherever you're moving, and we draw out the floor plan. When you go visit places, they'll give you floor plans, but those are not to scale. So we go out and measure and draw a scaled floor plan. And then we work with you based on what is the most important furniture that you need in your home. Let's start there. And then we place it on our drawing, and then we fill it in so we can make it a home. So it's space planning 101, really. But it's easy. What we always try to keep in mind is wanting to keep it a safe environment. So if someone's using a wheelchair or a walker, we want to make sure that there's room for them to get around. So we've worked with people who have had vision impairments. So we work with how should this work for you? Once we do that, then we start the sorting process, and that's where we really work with, what do you want to keep with you? Ignore everything else. What do you want to keep? And so that's where we go with people, walk through. Some people just need some guidance, some advice, some counseling. Some people need hands-on everything, because maybe we've helped clients who've been in wheelchairs or on 24/7 oxygen and don't have the energy to do it. So we bring things to our client if they need to. We are as hands-on or as hands-off as you want us to be. During that sorting process is the most important phase. We spend the most time there because we don't want you to hurry through decisions. We want you to have the proper amount of time to make decisions about what to keep. As we've learned, if you hurry, you live with regret. You take too much, or you throw things away that you wish you'd kept. So that's really the bulk of what we do, is spend time talking with you about what's important to you, what you want to keep. We do also provide packing services. So we pack with the end in mind. So if someone's moving to Minnesota, we pack with the unpacking in mind. So we are very different from just your movers who throw everything in a box, and you might find something from the kitchen, something from the bathroom, something from, you know, we want it to be easy. We coordinate. We do not do the professional moving. We do coordinate. That's a third party for us. We say we're the beauty, they're the brawn. So we need their muscles. So if you're local, we'll help you unpack, and we get you resettled according to the space plan. So we will do everything from arranging furniture, pictures on the wall, everything that we've planned, we will do that for you. If you move out of state, we can either coordinate with another move manager in the area where you're moving, and give them everything that we've planned, or a lot of times family will help at the receiving end. Once that's all done and all the decisions have been made, that's when we start the estate liquidation process. And that, again, is a third party, and we typically recommend, based on what you're leaving behind, what route to go. And then after that, we get the house cleaned up, and then we sell it. Does that help? And everything can be personalized. If you don't want all the services, that's fine. If you want all the services, we personalize it and base our quotes accordingly. I saw someone back. Yes. Correct. Yes, absolutely. And then once we get into your home and we look at what you have, kind of your timeline, what you need done, and what you want done, that's how we come up with our quote. Yeah. And then real estate is typical real estate. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Well, I really thank you. I do want to, yes. I have. The question and the issues, I would think, is you need to understand, find, number one, the house that works for both sets of people. And that's hard to do. We don't have a lot of homes in our area that are built for mother-in-law quarters for privacy. Yes, we have lots with guest rooms. But if you really think about it, like, are you going to want to, questions to ask each other, are we going to eat meals together or should we have separate kitchens? Are we going to share, you know, what are you going to share? What are you not going to share? What are the boundaries with privacy and time with each other? Those sort of things. Very important to just lay out expectations for each and what you both need to make it work. And the biggest thing for me when working with people is finding the right space, because that's the tricky part. Yes. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And it's just laying out those expectations so that everybody understands how everybody's feeling. The phone calls. Yes, we do every, last year we did it September and October, and we scheduled tours for on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock at 8 different communities across Northwest Arkansas as a group. And when I set those up with the communities, it's through me. So you don't have to share your contact information with them. What I like to do in those instances, I want it to be an educational visit for you. What is it? What is without having to endure the hard sales afterwards? And so the communities are very respectful of that and with that expectation up front. And so I feel it's a safe time to tour and get all the information you need to make an educated decision, but you may not be ready at that point, so you don't want the salespeople calling you, and that's what that's for. So my guess is we'll do that again in September and October. As you guys could probably talk about Senior Smart Talk. So I think this goes back to me and my social work background and wanting to be proactive and not reactive as much as possible. And I was finding most people, you've never been the age you are now. You don't know what you don't know. And so I wanted to put together a series of educational seminars that are free to the public to offer you information about aging issues. So we cover issues anywhere from healthcare to downsizing to scams. We talk about scams, Medicare changes for the next year, end of life care options is on our schedule for this year. These are where I am the moderator, and I basically invite the experts. And I have them talk and educate you about what's going on in their world that you need to know about. So these are all free. We just started this year doing Fayetteville. So we will be doing these on the second week of every month. And Fayetteville is going to be on Tuesdays from 10 to 11:30. And then Bentonville is going to be across the highway at this new venue called Gather Bentonville, right by my office. And much easier to get to than we used to do up at the Bentonville Community Center. And that was just hard to traffic wise. So nice location right off the highway for Bentonville locations. And we'll be the second Thursday of each month. And I did bring brochures over. So if you do want to see our schedule, you're welcome to grab those. We just love to have people come and learn.
They're extremely is it?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, universal. Oh, yes, I remember. We've had several of those. I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Yes, we do. We try to keep all different subjects in mind. We've done some on driving after 80. What do you need to know? What do you need to learn, you know, be aware of? When do you need to give up the keys? Those sort of things. Those are tough decisions and tough discussions to have. We just really want to get information in people's hands before they need it so you can make educated decisions when you have to make them. In fact, I just had a lady this week call me who's been an avid attender, and she said, "Allison, I don't need it right now, but my neighbor is homebound and he needs you. So we're going to meet tomorrow and kind of talk through what's going on and how we can help." So, yes. Anything else? I'm so thankful that you all let me come today and share with you and talk about downsizing.
And there is some information over. Okay, brochures available over there. So again, thank you for joining us today at Legacy. And again, just a lot of practical information for us to consider and talk about. I do want to make an announcement and a reminder for our next Legacy gathering. That would be Wednesday, March 5th. Mickey Rapier, who is the visionary leader of Fellowship Bible Church, Northwest Arkansas. He has oversight over all three of the campuses of the Mosaic Ministry on Saturday night, Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. He served in a number of roles during his 30 plus years here. And we've had him a number of years ago when we called ourselves Boomer and Sage, and we were in the Fellowship Bentonville office in downtown Bentonville. And he is really excited. I've been bragging about you. So be in your best behavior when you come, please. I'm joking. So think about that. Again, I've asked him to share a little bit about his family and his experience with ministry at Fellowship Bible Church. But what's on the horizon? There's one thing that's a constant here at Fellowship Bible Church, and that's change. And so he's got, I think, some exciting things that he's looking forward to sharing with us. So thank you again for coming. Have a great day. If you know of somebody that can benefit from what you heard today or any Legacy gatherings, I'm deputizing you that you're the communication link to your community group, your friends, your neighbors, or whatever. Again, thanks for coming. Have a great day.